The book of Exodus, chapter number 30. Thank you so much for being here this morning. If you'll find your place and stand for a moment, let's read one verse in your hearing. The book of Exodus, chapter number 30. Somebody asked me one time, said, how do you get your messages? And I said, well, most of the time it's in when you're reading the Bible and something jumps out at you. And that's kind of the way, I'll hear something said, I'll hear something in a song, I'll hear a phrase, I'll read something. I listen a lot to the Bible. And I can kind of listen to it in the background, and it's interesting how something in the background, a word will jump out or a phrase will jump out. And that's kind of what happened in this. The book of Exodus, chapter number 30, verse number 35 is the one I want to look at. We'll look at some verses on either side of it for context. Exodus 30, 35, the layout for the tabernacle and all of the priesthood and everything is being given. And the Lord told Moses in verse 35 of Exodus chapter number 30, the Lord said, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary. The art of the apothecary. Tempered together, pure and holy. I'm interested in that phrase, the art of the apothecary. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to rightly divide the word of truth. God, give us that unction that we need. Lord, we stand in need of your touch today. Help us, Lord, and Lord, give us something to make it past the back door. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. The word apothecary is not something that we would use in these days very much, but for the ladies that are into essential oils, that phrase has been revived. The word apothecary entered the English language somewhere in the 1300s. And it came from the Latin word, and the Latin word meant storehouse. And so it became the title for a person who was skilled in mixing things. Today we would call it, literally, if we were talking about a place that compounded things, a compounding pharmacy would fit the bill almost exactly. And we have one in town. And so you could rightfully call it, and some are now calling it, apothecary. If you deal at all in essential oils, you've ever been on any of the websites, you'll see that phrase all over the place. Because they'll take a little of this and a little of that and mix it together for these things. By the way, some people think that essential oils is a new fad. Nothing can be further from the truth. It's the oldest medicines on earth. And as a matter of fact, that's where today the modern phrase that we would say would be a pharmacist. The thing about it is, most of our pharmacists just dispense pills that somebody else mixed together. But a compounding pharmacy that takes a little of this and a little of that and a little of the other. Now, on the other hand, that kind of fits the idea of the phrase, the art of the apothecary. And I'm looking at that thought in the apothecary, and I'm looking at what they did with it. It was for an anointing. And we'll explore that with some more detail. But let me give you the bottom line at the beginning of the service. I want to look this morning at the art of the apothecary and how the truths that are found here in the formula that is laid out for us for the anointing oil, I want to expound that, and I want the thought to be living an anointed life. Living an anointed life. You say, well, now wait a minute, preacher. I'm not in the ministry. Neither is our little grandma that sings from up Burnsville way. She's not in the ministry. She's not a preacher neither. But would anybody say that grandma's got the anointing on her? With the Edwards family? Grandma Edwards, that's not her name, but that's not what we know about. Would anybody say that Grandma Edwards is living the anointed life? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know some others that are living the anointed life. You know some preachers that are, but can I tell you, you don't have to be a preacher to live the anointed life and to have that anointing and that blessing of God on your life. I want to look this morning, and I've got 3 points, and I'm going to spend the most time on the second one. The other two are just to fill out the passage. Look what the Bible says in verse number 30. Back up and look at God's written consecration instructions concerning the art of the apothecary. The Bible says, "And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons." Isn't it interesting that it wasn't Moses' sons? It was Moses' nephews. It was Moses' brothers' sons. They were not the Mosaic priesthood, but rather they were the Aaronic priesthood after the line of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood after the line of Aaron. Now, they were Levites. Moses was a Levite. Aaron was a Levite, but the line didn't follow. As a matter of fact, Moses' son did not take over where Moses left off. Somebody that was not even in that bloodline, Joshua, the son of Nun, took over where he left off. But that line followed Aaron. The Bible says, "And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons," and the Bible says, "and consecrate them." What does that mean, preacher? It means to be set apart. When you consecrate something, you set it apart. It's no longer used for ordinary things. It's no longer used for just any little thing. You know, I don't know why it is. I don't know why that my wife don't like for me to get her colander out of the cupboard and go out and use it when I'm washing carburetor parts, you know, and to strain my carburetor parts and put them in. And that way you just lift them up out of the stuff and it gets them so nice and dry. But she won't let me do that. Well, she don't like for me to do that. Let me put it that way. She don't like it when I get her funnel that she uses for Cannon and I change the oil in the car. She don't like it when I do that. Some of you are looking kind of sheepish. What's the matter? You've done that. I understand. Okay, I see what you're saying. Why do you not? Because those things are consecrated to eat out of. You know, the dog has a particular bowl. It's for the dog. You with me? The dog has a bowl and it's for the dog. The Bible says, "Consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." I never really spent a lot of time thinking about that. They minister unto me. The Lord said, "Minister unto me." Not minister to the people. They were to minister unto the Lord. That's interesting. What do we think the minister does? The minister is supposed to minister to the congregation, right? The Bible says that these people were to minister to the Lord. I thought that was just very interesting. That they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Verse number 31, "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations." God wrote written instructions concerning the consecration of this apothecary and the apothecary for the purpose of anointing God's men, the priest, the Levitical priesthood. God's written consecration instructions. Secondly, I'm going to skip verse 32 and 33, and I'm going to deal with those in a minute. From verse 30-31, let's skip down to verse number 34. This is where I want to spend our time. I want to look at God's word concerning its ingredients, this anointing oil. I want to look, see what God has to say. The apothecary, look what the scripture says. "And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices." Sweet spices represents God's abundance in our lives. Can I say that when the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," there was more in that verse than sometimes we get out of it. What I want to say is, listen, God didn't put us on half rations. God just didn't give us just enough to get by on and squeak our way into heaven. Can I tell you, we're living the abundant life. I am. I don't know about anybody else. I'm having a time. I mean, listen. I'm having time. I'm enjoying the journey. Thank God. A lot of people look like they've been weaned on dill pickle juice or something, you know. Been eating greens and salmons before the frost or something. I mean, they look like that they're, you know, Billy Kelly used to call them clabberheads. You know what that means. All right, let me explain it to you. Monday morning, I wanted some Raisin Bran. I retch. You don't say reached. Everybody knows that's not right. Don't say reached. Reach ain't right. Reached ain't the right English. It's retch. I retched in the refrigerator, and I pulled out a gallon of milk. It was still in date. And I soused that on my Raisin Bran. And I prayed, but I reckon I didn't pray hard enough. And I should have prayed before I got the milk out. And I was on the phone. Okay, I was on the phone. And so, so I'm on the phone, and I start eating my Raisin Bran, and I thought, something ain't right. Something ain't real right. And I got somebody on the phone, and yeah, woo! And so I made it over the trash can. I had poured clabbered milk on my cereal. Now, if you ain't done that lately, you need to. Listen, if you'll get up and get you a big swig of clabbered milk first thing in the morning, everything else will be uphill all day long. It'll fix you. You won't have no complaints. Everything will be good. Do that first thing in the morning. The day's going to get better, I promise. That'll fix you right up. Well, abundance in our lives. The Bible says take it to these sweet spices. Sweet spices. And I want to look at these. The Bible says the first one was stacte. And I believe that's how you pronounce it, stacte. Interesting about that one, stacte. It grew on the mountain of Gilead. And it was a tree. And the trees actually sweat, if you will, these pearlescent drops. And they would go and they would harvest these little drops of sap off the side of the tree. And that was where this ingredient was to come from. I thought about the Savior as He sweat great drops of blood. I thought about the sweat of the tree and the burden of the tree and what a blessing it was. No doubt, my friend, that this stacte represents a blessing. It's drops of sap and it represents blessing. But I want to share something interesting with you. It came from the promised land. Are the children of Israel in the promised land? Nope. Where are they? They're in the desert. The Sinai Peninsula, they're in the desert, the Arabian desert. Where are they, preacher? They're in a wilderness. But somebody is going to have to go into the promised land, and somebody's going to have to get those drops off those trees, and somebody's going to have to bring it back, and somebody's going to have to make it part of the apothecary. Now, I don't understand all I know about this, but I do know this. It speaks of the sweetness of the future. Now you think about it. They said that thing was so aromatic when you were near those trees you could smell it. When they got to the promised land and first time they set foot on Gilead, I bet they went, hey, that smells familiar. Where have I smelt that before? Why, that smells like the priest after he comes out and has been ministering before God. Reckon, where'd that come from? And by the way, how'd you like to be some of the young Levites that drew the short straw and said, all right, boys, it's your turn. We bowed out of stacte. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to swim Jordan. Somebody's got to go in there and face them giants. Somebody's got to go to Gilead. Somebody's got to get us some stacte. I don't believe it was any accident that particular element of that ointment, my friend, was found in a place yet to come. Can I tell you, hey, if you get to believing that the best is over, if you get to believing that all the good times are behind you, if you get to believing that it was all the best times were contained in our youth and it's nothing but doom and gloom in the future, I got good news for you. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come with God. The worst thing that can happen to the child of God is for us to live. The best thing that can happen is for us to be in the presence of the Lord. Stacte, drops of sap, represent blessings. Bible says, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and second one is onkia. Onkia. This one is really unusual. Very unusual. This particular one come from the, there was a mollusk. And when you took the shell of the mollusk where the thing attached, there was a particular color of a part of a shell. And you would get that shell and you would grind it fine, and it was part of the shell of a mollusk. Now, think about what I'm going to say here. This particular one come from the depths of the sea. The other one came from drops of sap, represented blessing. This one comes from the depths of the sea, and it represents a burden. Why is that, preacher? Can you see those Levites as they had to go back down to the Red Sea, and they had to hold their nose and dive in and try to swim around and find those things? They didn't have any deep sea apparatus. They had to just wing it. They had to go and hold their breath and dive and go in there and find these particular things now and bring them up, dry them, and then they had to grind them, and it had to become part of the apothecary. Can you imagine? Just as they're up on the side of Mount Gilead and they're gathering these drops and they're looking out over this fertile valley and over this great land that God would give them in days to come. Can you imagine? As they're down here at the Red Sea, it's a generation that's still alive now. Most of them have been through the Red Sea, but they're in the desert. But this anointing takes them back. Maybe they go back to the place where they crossed. Maybe they go back and maybe a man takes his young one with him and said, now son, you was too young to remember it, you was asleep. But right yonder's where that thing rolled back and that thing congealed. And we walked across right here. Right here's the tracks where we come out on dry ground. This would be a good place to go diving and see if we can find some of these mollusks that we can use. What do you mean, preacher? Well, how are you going to look at that Red Sea without remembering the burdens of Egypt? And how that they had wicked taskmasters. And how that they were ordered to gather their own straw and still make as many brick to build these cities for these pharaohs. And how they were afflicted and the burdens that were there. And they go down to that Red Sea and they're reminded of the past and the burdens that they bore. Can I say to you, you don't need to dwell in the past? Hear me? You don't need to live in the past. You don't need to dwell in the past. You don't need to let the past control your future. It's what it is. It's past. That's why they call it past, because it's in the past. And you can't do one thing about the past. There is no rewind on life. It's gone. It's over. That's the way it is. Took me a long, long time to learn that. And I still don't know that I got it down pat completely. But on occasion, it's healthy not to go back to Egypt. He could have very easily said, here's something down in Egypt that you got to go get. He didn't say that. But he said, go down to the place that I brought you out of Egypt. Sometimes it's good to go back to the altar. Sometimes it's good to go back to the place that you got saved and realize what God saved you out of and what God saved you from. You want to live the anointed life? Hey, he didn't go into Egypt to get this product, but they did go to the Red Sea, the place that God baptized them, immersed them. That's what the scripture says. They were baptized in the Red Sea. So they didn't get wet. No, they didn't have to, but the wall walled up on both sides of them and come across on dry ground. Can I tell you, baptism is a picture of separation, and it separated them from Egypt and toward the promised land. It separated them from the Egyptians. It separated them from the burdens. And can I say hallelujah? That sometimes it's good to look back and see where God saved you from. Onkia. from the depths of the sea speaks of burden. Look at this next one. And galbanum. This one's very interesting. This galbanum, I think it represents the displeasures of service. You see, galbanum in the raw form is bitter. Now, you can buy it today. It is one of the essential oils. It's good for arthritis. It's good for skin conditions. It has an anti-inflammatory effect. We probably use it in a bunch of medicines. We probably don't even know that we're using this particular one. But it is an essential oil. It's used in that fashion. And it's even a food additive. It's approved to be added to food in limited quantities. But here's what I want to tell you about it. It's kind of like vanilla extract. In its raw form, it's very, very bitter. My friend, that speaks of the present. I can't remember who said it, but I remember somebody saying they couldn't enjoy the sweet by and by for having to deal with the nasty now and now. I've never forgot that. My friend, there's a lot of bitterness in this life. There's a lot of things in this life that are tough. There's a lot of things that are, can I say it this way? It seems, and I'll deal more with this in a minute, it seems that when you try to live the anointed life, it seems like that it's to the extreme. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Put it this way, it ain't boring. Put it this way, you won't get bored with it. It's extreme. In other words, things that go on in our lives. I mean, when we're trying to live that anointed life, trying to live close to God, somebody said it this way, the higher the levels, the more the devils. And I'm not bragging on that rascal, don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to state a reality. Hear me and hear me well. There are people who think that you can get above sin and live up on this plateau and plain, and I believe you can for a time. But what I'm trying to say is there's a devil tugging at you every step of the way. Don't you ever think that this old sin nature and this old flesh will not betray you, because it will. And better men than you and I have been betrayed by this old wicked flesh. Oh, God, help us. I think it speaks of the bitterness in its raw state, in its unrefined state. What does that mean, preacher? Well, they distill it. They steam distill it is the primary way they get it out of it. They steam distill it. And after you get that out and separate it, then apparently it loses some of that bitterness. When we were doing the kids' cook-off, we had had sweet and sweet and sweet. And boy, the next sweet thing, and I had a fried pickle. And I thought that wasn't going to be very good. But can I tell you that a deep-fried dill pickle came in really good at that particular juncture. In other words, it fit. You see what I'm saying? Some of the kids opted to bake things that were savory. And boy, we dispersed those through there, and I'm glad that they did. Can I tell you that life's not all sweet? But if it was all sweet, we'd take it for granted. And if all we had was running and shouting, we'd take it for granted. And as we said this morning, brother, I hate to say it, but sometimes it seems that we do get tired of the goodness of God. And when I mean tired of, we're not tired of enjoying the blessings, but sometimes we just think, well, I deserve this. Or we just think, well, you know, this is the way it always is. And about that time, God will add a little galbanum into the apothecary, and there'll be something hit your life, turn you upside down, and the only way you look straight up toward heaven. Hello? I hate to say this, but in my own life, the times I'm closest to God's not when we're shouting and running. Wished it weren't that way. But most of the time, it's when we get in a situation we ain't got no other way out but to call on God flat of our back. And that gall bottom maybe speaks of the displeasures in service, bitterness. And then the Bible says this. It says, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, blessings, ankia, burdens, and galbana, bitterness. These sweet spices with pure frankincense. Frankincense. That frankincense, I believe, represents the distinction of sanctification. Why is that, preacher? Because frankincense is associated by, in every regard, with the priest. What did they bring to the Lord Jesus as a child, as a baby in the manger, or at least as a young child in the house, according to the book of Matthew, chapter number 2, what did they bring to him? They brought to him gold, and the latter poor one was what? It was myrrh. What was the middle one? Frankincense. Frankincense is a white powder, or it creates a white smoke, apparently, when it's burnt. And frankincense is always considered to be a balm. And the Bible said that they took those things and they combined it, those three other ingredients, and they combined it with that herb or that oil or that product of distinction, the distinction of sanctification. And my friend, that didn't speak of the future. That didn't speak of the past. That didn't even speak of the presence. It spoke of God's presence. And when you get God's presence on your future, and God's presence on your past, and God's presence on your present, hallelujah, it'll set it apart. It'll set you apart. If I go to a family reunion and you was late getting there, and I can slip through and drop your name a time or two, I want people to say about you. I wonder what people say. I wonder what they'd respond. Well, I think he just takes his religion a little bit too seriously. I think he's just a fanatic. I think he just carries it a little too far. But bring up a ball team, and son, they're all about it. Bring up a sports event, they're all about it. Bring up whatever it is they're into, and they're all about it. But all those things are temporal. But what I'm talking about is eternal. What I'm talking about is a God thing. And what I'm talking about, hey, we'll reap for eternity. And I'm talking about that distinction of sanctification, that balm, and it speaks of God's presence. And they mix those things together. And this apothecary, this mixture speaks of the abundance in our lives. But then I want you to look what the Bible says. In the latter part of this verse, verse number 34, there is not only the abundance in our lives, but the Bible teaches that God brings a balance to our lives. The Bible says, of each shall there be a like weight. J. Vernon McGee said that it was an ancient recipe that's been lost down through time. J. Vernon, I hate to disagree with you, buddy. I know that you say that's where the rubber meets the road. I know that's what you say. But listen to me. I've got the recipe. It's in the Bible. It's four things in equal parts. 25%, 25%, 25%, and 25%. And it was balanced. It was balanced with that blessing and balanced with burdens and banner, balanced with bitterness. And the balm rounded out the concoction, rounded out the confection. Can I say that's the way it is in our lives? God wants us to be a balanced people. My friend, you can go to seed on anything. If you'll remember, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. But can I tell you, if you get a... I tried to deal with this last Sunday night. I know people that have gone to seed over this Bible. I believe they're worshiping the leather and the paper. Well, I don't know how to tell you this, but the paper that this Bible was made out of probably came off of the same paper machine that makes all the paper for Winston cigarettes. Now what are you going to do? It's just the truth. Cigarette paper and Bible paper are very similar. And I've got the chemist and the people that worked and made it in here that can testify. I mean, it was a dead cow that made the leather off of this, or a dead calf or whatever it is. And yours is a goat, dead goat, or a dead pig, or a dead cow, or a dead something, or it's vital. But there ain't nothing special about it. It's not the Bible that I worship, it's the God of the Bible. You understand what I'm trying to say? There's a crowd running around carrying a King James Bible, claiming you can marry all the women you want to and divorce them all you want to, as long as you carry a King James Bible. Son, they need to crack that thing open and read a verse or two out of it. They'd find out that's not what God said. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it does have consequences. And it will disqualify you from preaching. I mean, a pastor, it'll disqualify the bishops to be the husband of one wife. But somewhere they've missed that down the line. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I believe the Bible is, I believe I have the Word of God. I believe I hold it. But I don't believe it's double inspired. I believe rather that it's preserved. God kept it. God kept it. And I believe that. Can I tell you, we to be a balanced people. And you don't have to live. Hey, listen to me. You don't have to live Amish to live the anointed life. It's not necessary to live the anointed life. You see, there's a balance in our lives. God brings abundance in our lives. Take unto these sweet spices. And God brings balance to our lives. Of each of there shall be a like weight. We've dealt with the apothecary. Look at the application. And thou shalt make it, verse number 35. Thou shalt make it perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Thou shalt beat some of it very small, put it before the testimony. Look what the Bible says. In the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee, it shall be unto you most holy. I typically do word studies, and I'll look at every word in a passage that I'm going to expound. And I looked at the root and the meaning of every single word. You know what I found? I found the same number twice in the Greek, in the Hebrew text. And so I got to looking. And the word most, it was the same number in the Strong's Concordance as the word holy. So you know what that means? That means that to express this in the Hebrew, they said, it shall be unto you holy, holy. Completely holy. Holy, not W-H-O. Holy, holy. It is to be unto you holy, not just holy, but holy, holy. That's what it's to be to you. That was the application of it. You see, you were to put it on the priest, but you would also put it in the tabernacle, in that place where God would meet with you. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Don't enter into that place without it. God said, place it there. Somebody said, I want to get into the presence of God. You better have some of the anointing of the apothecary on you if you plan on ever seeing God. If you plan on ever meeting with God, you don't go in smelling like wrangling cattle. You don't go in there smelling like you've been out the pig lot. No, sir. How do you smell when you go into the presence of God? Now, I'm not talking about physically, but I'm talking about spiritually. How do you smell when you walk in? If you want an audience with God, how do you smell? You have that anointed life, that anointing. You see, because how you smell on the outside matches what God's smelling on the inside. That inside place where He's going to meet with us, it's already anointed. And in order to be where you need to be anointed to go in. You need to have that anointed life. And so I said there's 3 points. There's God's written consecration instructions, verse 30 and verse 31. There's God's word concerning its ingredients in verse number 34 and 35, 36. And then finally, there's God's word warning concerning its imitation. God's warning concerning its imitation. I won't spend a lot of time here. God's first warning. I'm going to reach back and get those verses I left out on purpose. Verse number 32, he says, no compromise. Upon man's flesh it shall not be poured. No compromise. He said, no copies. Neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. He said, it's not common. He said, it is holy, and it shall be unto you holy. It shall be holy unto you. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. He said, I said it was holy, and you better think it's holy. It's not common. It's not something you wear when you go out. It's not something that you're going to mix up on your own. No, sir, it's not common. And then he says in verse 33, whosoever compound anything like it, or whosoever putteth anything of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. You know what he come and said again? He said, no compromise. I done told you. It's for the priest. Nobody else to wear it. Upon man's flesh it shall not be poured, verse 32. And in verse 33, don't you do it. Don't you put it on anybody else. No compromise. No compromise, no copies, not in common. And now, no compromise again. Oftentimes in the Bible, God uses what I call sandwich theology. You do it. Your kids got the tennis shoes on to get ready to go to church. There's big mud puddles outside the church, big places. And you say to your kids, now, when you get out of the car, you say, now, kids, don't you walk through the water, get your feet wet. Spit out your gum, don't run, go in and take a seat. Now, don't you go through that mud puddle. That's called sandwich theology, mamas. You told them what not to do the first thing. You told them some other instructions. And the last thing you wanted them to know was, don't you go through that mud puddle. What do you think first thing they're going to do is? They're going to go right in the middle of that mud puddle and jump on both feet and see how much they can splash out. She didn't. She said don't walk through it. She didn't say you couldn't jump in it. That's a child's theology. That's God's first warning. No compromise, no copies. Not common, no compromise. But look at verse 37. Now God opened with this. Now watch God in this final warning. Verse 37, he says, no copies. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall make to yourselves according to the composition thereof, no copies. Secondly, he says, it's not common. And it shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. And you know what he closes with? He said, don't make no copies. Whosoever shall make that like unto that, to smell thereof, even shall he be cut off from his people. I don't know that it happened, but can you imagine somebody got the hold of the ingredients? They mixed them up some. They smeared it on them. And they come walking past Moses. And he goes, wait a minute, what tribe are you of? Well, I'm of the tribe of Judah. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm of the tribe of, wait, come over here. Come over here. You been around a priest? No, sir. You been in the tabernacle? No, sir. Guards, take him out. Why? Because you've got an outlawed substance on you. You see, God said no copies. He said it's not common, therefore no copies. Sandwich theology again. What are you trying to say, preacher? Very quickly, the majority of the Hebrew people never got to smell the anointing but on someone else. Let me say it again. The majority of the Hebrew people never got to smell the anointing except on someone else. Because only a select few, only at a certain time, only at a certain season, got to go in. Can I bring it down to where we live? Most of Christianity will never get to smell the anointing except on somebody else. Why? Because it's too far. Water's too deep. It's too bitter. It's too dangerous. It's not worth it. Most of the people in our day will never get to smell the anointing but on someone else. But hear what I'm going to tell you. You've been around it and I have too. You get somebody that's had the anointing of God on them. There is a balm in Gilead. Oh, hallelujah. You just want to get around them, don't you? You just want to get close to them. You just want to get to know them. Oh, praise God. You want to give them your prayer request. You want to share with them the burdens of your heart.
Man, you just want to get around that thing. Ain't nothing like it in this world. Hear me when I say, most of the Christians never get to smell the anointing, but on someone else. But the neat part of it is you don't have to be born of the Levites. Aaron does not have to be your great-great-grandpa. You do not have to have a lineage of the Hebrew race, of the line of Aaron, of the line of the Levites, to enter into God's presence. You can go after service. Some have been this morning before they got here. And the throne room's open for those that are willing to live the anointed life.